This is Audible.
Podium Audio presents Enemy of the World, Book 1 of Main Character Hides His Strength, written by Road Warrior, performed by Nick Podell. Prologue. For the first time in his life, Devil Commander Veritas trembled in fear. It was ironic that he, who had been called the Commander of Terror by all, was terrified of a lesser life form. The source of his newfound fear was but a mere human. Humans were insignificant existences that could be killed with a single glance. But the one before him, wielding a massive hammer, was different. Just a bit too different. Over 100 Balrog devils were strewn across the demon realm floor with their skulls split open. There hadn't been any flashy skills or spells. That stupid bastard hammered at and ripped apart all of the demon's skulls with ease. This human, who effortlessly swept aside the guards, approached ever closer.
What do you want, human? I listen to all of your...
The massive hammer flew over like lightning and dealt a critical blow to the devil's goat-like skull. The high devil of the demon world's third circle, Veritas's eyes spun in separate directions. Wham! Blam! Slam! The torrent of blows continued, not stopping until every inch of the high devil's skull was completely flattened. The devil perished, and his army was laid to waste. All that was left was the king of all demons, Hesnius Max. Songchul Kim opened the gate inscribed with an insidious hexagram, then turned towards the demon king's citadel. However, on top of the blood-tinted throne was a long, cold corpse. A hazy form appeared in front of the flabbergasted Songchul.
You can't kill me now, wielder of Falgaraz.
The demon king had voluntarily shed his body. The reason for this was simple. Songchul was just too strong. However, physical strength was not all powerful.
You can't kill me now.
Songchul already knew this. Physical attacks did not have any effect on ethereal targets. A strong blow would be able to disperse a weak enemy, but this was the demon king. Only a limited number of high-level spells had the potential to deliver a mortal blow. Furthermore, Songchul couldn't use magic. Rather, he had never bothered to invest in magic. Not only did he dislike magic, he even hated mages as much as he did the devils. This was the weakness the demon king had taken advantage of.
I may have lost my army, but as long as I, one of the five great calamities, survive, the prophecy of the end will still come to pass. As it stands, we may not be able to kill one another, but I can still crush the very world you stand upon. You may hate your own kind, but what could you ever obtain from a dead world filled with nothing but monsters and demons?
Listening to the taunting words of the demon king, Songchul came to realize something important.
I need magic.
Chapter 1. Summoning Palace. A bright light poured from a colossal summoning formation, and the night sky started to glow eerily. As he gazed up at the faintly lit sky, Songchul reminisced about the time he was first summoned. That had been more than 2 decades ago. Back then, he had been naive and unprepared. Dangers were common, and it was nothing short of a miracle that he had managed to survive. Now, it would only take an hour for him to kill everyone in the summoning palace, but the terror and helplessness he had felt when he was first summoned resurfaced from a corner of his memories. Songchul approached the sewers of the summoning palace while shaking himself free of these memories. In front of the sewers, a werewolf was standing guard.
When will it end? My turn better come soon.
Creatures that were once human, Werewolves were people that had forsaken their humanity to embrace the feral side. Those who had a cruel and vicious nature would typically be seduced into walking this corrupted path, which granted them high strength up front at the cost of having a low potential for growth. The werewolves, whose limits were clear, had but one joy and one purpose in their life, and that was to rip apart the newbie humans with their powerful teeth and claws. Werewolves had been one of the most feared enemies when Sung Chul was first summoned into the summoning palace, but they now couldn't even survive a single punch of his. Sung Chul comfortably walked towards the creature from the shadows.
"Who are you?"
said the werewolf, guarding the waterways as he sniffed the air and looked around angrily. Whoosh! A firm grip suddenly wrapped around the werewolf's neck, and his yellow eyes widened in fear.
Whoa, what is this strength?
Unable to even cry for help, the werewolf could only watch helplessly as the mysterious human began looping a rope around his neck with one hand while holding him with the other. Thump! The werewolf struggled against the noose for a while before becoming limp. Sung Chul took out a pen and paper and scribbled, "I can't go on living like a dog." He silently shoved the piece of paper into the werewolf's pocket and walked deeper into the darkness of the sewers, heading towards the palace. After passing through the dark waterways, a brightly lit hallway appeared. Sung Chul reached into his memories and directed himself towards the summoning plaza. There were a few guards along the way, but at their level, they wouldn't be able to feel his presence. Sung Chul freely strode through until he reached the summoning plaza. The plaza was filled with massive inscriptions and numerous mages who were chanting summoning incantations. They were conducting a summoning of a grand scale. This was an accursed practice in which humans from a world called Earth were forcefully summoned here. The massive summon teleported 10,000 people each time, but not even 500 would walk out of the summoning palace in one piece. The rest would meet their end in pitiful tragedies, be used in magical experiments, or be sold as slaves. There were four plazas in which the summoning took place. These were Azure, Scarlet, Blanche, and Crimson. Each palace was able to convoke 2,500 humans per summon. Sung Chul chose to quietly hide himself at the Blanche Plaza. The Blanche Plaza was defended by a total of 200 summoners, guardian golems, and soldiers. A small, abominable fairy was hopping around between them.
What kind of trashy humans will be coming today? I can't wait anymore. Trash mages, hurry up, spit out the trashy humans, yeah, yo!
The small, ugly creature with red eyes wasn't actually a fairy. It was a homunculus, an artificial life form created within a mage's flask. They were in charge of the introductory course for the newly summoned, and their greatest joy was looking upon the fear and dread etched into the faces of dying people. This homunculus, which wore a green hat, was one of those sadistic bastards. Unfortunately for him, luck was not on his side.
How should I kill these newbies to receive praise, yo? Happy worries,
The homunculus, preoccupied with the summoning process, was suddenly pulled backwards. The kidnapper of the homunculus was none other than Sung Chul. The homunculus's crimson eyes were filled with horror.
How can a mere normal human do this to the noble me?
Though homunculi were only as large as infants, their strength and dexterity were about 5 times stronger than the average adult. It wasn't uncommon to see 2 homunculi tearing a human apart. This homunculus, however, was now powerless after being captured by a seemingly average-looking man. Hand over the quest log. Sung Chul bluntly spat out his demand.
Quick quest log? Do you even know where this is?
Act first. Ask questions later. Sung Chul tore away a single leg from the homunculus and its red blood splattered all over. Hand it over. As he spoke, he tore off another leg. It didn't matter if it died, since there were countless other homunculi left to replace it. In fact, a dead comrade would serve as a strong incentive for the next one to obediently comply with his demands. It hastily answered before Sung Churl could grab its arm.
I'll hand it over, human sir!
The homunculus spat out a bright orb from his flapping gullet, and a message popped up as Sung Churl grabbed the item. Obtained Summoning Plaza's quest log. Would you like to see the quest log? With a simple nod, words began to fill Sung Churl's vision. Summoning Plaza's quest log. Charismatic person. After being summoned, introduce yourself to more than 10 people within 10 minutes. Reward, fire seed. Sportsman. Within 3 days of being summoned, perform 300 sit-ups and 3 hours of running. Reward, strengthening dumbbells. Cook. Using more than 3 types of ingredients provided by the Summoning Palace's quests, prepare a meal. Reward, white bread, ration, x3. All the quests and their requirements provided by the Summoning Palace were written concisely within the orb taken from the homunculus. Sung Churl carefully sifted through all the quests to find those that were useful to him. Observant, read aloud the inscription posted at the main entrance. Reward, intuition +1.
I have to raise intuition, especially because of those curses.
As he resumed searching for more quests, he could hear a pained voice beside him.
Human, sir, you're letting me go now, right? It hurts.
It was the legless homunculus. The reply was crunch. A merciful, painless death. Sung Churl tossed the limp corpse into the air. Blood had splattered all over the place, but that didn't matter. This entire place was about to overflow with human blood soon.
Are these all just the common ones? There are no hidden quests listed here.
This was a decent find, considering the fact that he had obtained it from a low-level homunculus. Sung Churl retreated back into the darkness to wait for his next opportunity. Soon, modern humans suddenly appeared from the bright lights of the magic formation. The summoned had arrived.
Where am I?
What happened?
Having been pulled out of their comfortable, civilized world, they inspected their new surroundings with innocent and confused faces. However, there was no time for them to be surprised. All the mages and the guards left the plaza, and only the rough-looking homunculi remained to face the humans.
Humans, welcome to the Fields of Judgment.
The people didn't know what to make of these infant-sized creatures that were hopping and shouting about. Some of them looked around blankly, some kept bashing at their phones, and others kept badgering another with questions. Each person's reaction might have been different, but the crises facing them were all the same. Sung Churl, who had slipped in amongst the crowd, was quietly waiting for a message to appear.
Will it succeed?
He who had been banned and made enemy of every circle of mages had never had the opportunity to learn magic. If there was a way to learn magic by beating the knowledge out of a mage, he would have tried it by now. But magic could not be learned without obtaining a mage class first, which wasn't as easy as it sounded. Along with precise planning and some luck, he would need to find an altar and a skilled mage who could breathe life into that altar. It wasn't difficult for him to crush a kingdom, but if someone was to find out that he was trying to learn magic, all the mage circles would put their lives on the line to stop him. Those people were the craziest of fanatics. They put their reputation even above their lives. The only solution Sung Churl could come up with was to sneak into places that bestowed classes for free, like the Summoning Palace. If one could receive the Summoning Palace quest, there would be an opportunity for them to learn magic. He wasn't sure if it would work, but this was the most moderate method with the least collateral damage he could think of. Suddenly, a message appeared before Sung Churl's anticipating eyes. Welcome to the Summoning Palace. Summoning Palace's quest will now begin. Battle will soon commence. Please be prepared.
It happened. The Summoning Palace's quest had been triggered. In his mind, Sung Churl was celebrating when another message appeared.
Warning! You could die!
Me? Die?
His lips curved into a cynical smile. The iron gates on the walls surrounding the plaza opened, and an alien-esque creature squirmed through. A man with particularly good sight spoke uneasily.
Is that a mantis?
The man's guess was correct. However, there was no way that something as simple as that would appear in the Blanche Plaza. What had really appeared was a man-eating mantis, standing at the height of an adult male. There was a swarm of them, numbering in the hundreds.
Now, trashy humans, weapons are going to start appearing. Pick one, yayo! Fight or run! If you don't do either, you can just let yourself be eaten!
The homunculi began dancing as they taunted the summoned. The crowd remained still, unsure of what to do, but Sung Churl was different. Without showing any particular emotion, he patiently waited for the arrival of the weapons. A worn blade suddenly appeared in the air. Blade of Beginnings. Grade, common, lowest grade. Type, blade. Effect, none. Note, wield and fight. Die or kill. It has been a while since I've used a blade. He had been solely using his hammer for quite a while now. This didn't mean he couldn't use a blade. Sung Tro's mastery level with a blade was at the master rank. It fell short of the greatest ranking of Grandmaster, but it wouldn't be wrong to say he was humanity's most powerful swordsman. Sung Churl hid amidst the rumbling crowd and observed the transparent beings that were meandering above their heads. It was a summoned creature with the appearance of a transparent bloodshot eye. Most people wouldn't be able to notice it due to its invisibility spell, but such illusion spells were ineffective against Sung Churl. That must be the observer's eye. Have they already started filtering people out? Sung Churl could see a large observation tower above the walls surrounding the plaza. The bastards who held power in this part of the world were sitting in that tower. They were watching through the observer's eye for any seeds or special talents they could nurture. But at this point, it was still too early for them to tell, so they were mostly just watching the people who were of interest to the higher-ups. As if on cue, the observer's eye focused their attentions onto those special individuals at the same time. This was a type of a mark. All of the observer's eyes are enchanted with a low-level repellent spell. I suppose it could keep away trash mobs like those man-eating mantises. Some of the observer's eyes hovered over the men and women who looked promising. Those eyes were the property of the slave traders. Most likely they would reveal themselves at a moment of peril, offering a contract with horrific terms in exchange for saving the summoned's life, just so that the innocent life could be plunged into the depth of despair and suffering.
Now, now, trashy humans, the game will begin, yayo!
The homunculi with the red hats were hopping over to the humans. A man walked over to one of them.
Hey, what the fuck are you, huh?
It was a relatively muscular man in his mid-20s who looked agile. He must have used his fist quite a bit in the old world, but this was other world. Old ways of thinking did not apply here. One of the homunculi with the red hat tottered along and asked,
Trashy human, you have something you want to say to me, yayo?
The man, seemingly full of energy, suddenly kicked the homunculus. However, the kick carrying all of his weight was easily stopped by the homunculus's childlike hands.
Huh?
The man's eyes only briefly reflected the horror welling up inside him before the surrounding homunculi gathered like vultures, and each happily held onto a limb. The man desperately tried to swing his blade, but it was all to no avail.
Hey, let go of me! Shit!
The red-hatted homunculus smiled viciously as it said,
Trashy human, struggling without knowing your place. Time for a lesson, yayo. This place is our playground, yayo. Break our rules and this is what happens, yayo.
Snickered another homunculus while pulling the man's limbs apart. The man's limbs were torn apart, accompanied by a sickening cry of agony. After a brief and shrill scream of a woman onlooker, the entire plaza plunged into a horrified silence. The homunculi, basking in the tangible fear of the humans watching, arrogantly proclaimed,
From now on, you must all listen to what we tell you to do, yayo! Run over to that door as fast as you can, yayo! Or else Mr. Mantis is going to make a tasty meal out of you, yayo!
The seal surrounding the plaza fell away, and the starving mantis swarm suddenly perked up. the humans finally understood the fate that awaited them. There was a desperate cry, followed by pandemonium. A huge group of 2,500 people all bolted towards the door. Everyone pushed and shoved until the weakest of them were trampled to death. Sung Churl calmly made his way through the chaos towards the front of the crowd. This was all a familiar sight to him. The homunculi's repertoire hadn't changed a bit. There would still be an unwelcome surprise waiting for them at the exit.
Quah!
A hand shot out from the exit, followed by a creature shaped like a human. It was a ghoul, a zombie-like creature that sought human flesh. Although the creature still retained a bit of its human consciousness, their insatiable hunger prevailed over their sense of reason. The starved ghouls became frenzied at the sight of fresh, living humans. They caught the more athletic among the summoned who were at the front of the crowd and started eating them alive. Witnessing the traumatizing scene unfolding before them, those at the front came grinding to a halt. However, the remaining herd of 2,000 didn't stop with them. The people at the back continued to press forward while those at the front began to scream, "Stop pushing! Stop pushing!" Those facing the ghouls held the crowd back with all their strength, but in the end, they were slowly being pushed forward inch by inch until they too were grabbed by the ghouls.
So hungry, hungry.
Accompanied by the screams of their victims, the ghouls began to feast. However, there was a stronger, even more terrifying predator hunting those who had fallen behind.
Dear,
a middle-aged man feebly tried to defend his wife with his blade, but a beginner was no match for the man-eating mantis.
Clang!
The mantis's foreleg shattered the blade and snatched up the despairing survivor.
Crunch, crunch!
The homunculi made satisfied smiles while listening to the music of flesh and bone being devoured.
That's why you have to run faster, you slowpokes! Being lazy led to this.
It was a hellish scene, but all of this failed to affect Sung Churl. To him, there was something more important that demanded his attention, which was to read the inscription that was at the front gate. Death will set you free.
You are a possessor of sharp observation. You have astutely observed the inscription written at the front gate and completed observant, common, reward, intuition plus one.
The first quest had been completed. However, it was still far from over.
Oh-ho! What a nice guy! You have completed Samaritan, common, by helping three people who have fallen over. Reward, apple, times two. You are a true romantic, gazing up upon the two moons longingly, even in the most dangerous of times. Romanticist, common, has been completed. Reward, palace token, times one.
Even during the process of escaping, he was able to finish a few trivial quests. Things like apples could be earned at Sung Chul's leisure, but the palace token was the most important item to collect from palace quests. Palace tokens were required to pick a class. One would have to feverishly collect them if one wanted to take one of the hidden classes, but Sung Chul only wanted the common mage class. He could easily collect 9 of the 10 tokens with little trouble. Trying any harder would only garner the attention of the large guilds and sects.
I can probably get away with earning 15 tokens without raising an alarm. Now that I've managed to get some intuition, maybe I should check my status window for once.
In this brief moment, a ghoul rushed towards Sung Churl. Sung Churl reflexively swiped across the ghoul's skull with the back of his blade. However, he forgot to control his strength. The ghoul's head broke through the reinforced door.
Shit.
He tried to hold back, but he was still too strong. It couldn't be helped. His physical strength far exceeded the level of a superhuman and approached the realms of divinity.
There is definitely a need for me to conceal my strength. By a lot.
Thankfully, his action went completely unnoticed. No one was in a position to notice anything out of the ordinary. That was only natural. Preserving one's life here was difficult enough without watching what someone else was doing. The end slowly came into sight. The homunculi were waving blood-soaked cloths while shouting at people. Those who arrived first felt as if they were suffocating both physically and mentally. Sung Churl softly muttered, "Status screen," under his breath. Overall, the status screen of newcomers would be pathetic beyond compare.
It wouldn't be rare for it to be filled with just some meager stats and nothing else. This wasn't the case for Sungchul. His status screen unfolded like a legendary epic. Current status of Sungchul Kim, the Destroyer. Blessings. 1. Covenant. Unknown. 2. Unshakable. Immune to mental attacks. 3. Blessing from God of Chaos. 10% bonus to strength, dexterity, vitality. 4. Heir of Heracles. Plus 100 strength. 5. Bloodline of Zealot. Major bonus to regeneration when below 10% vitality. 6. Champion of Humanity. Plus 50 resilience. 7. Rapid Bow of the High Elven Kingdom. Plus 30 dexterity. 8. Heart of an Ancient Warrior. Plus 5 strength, resilience, vitality, resilience. Curses. 1. Covenant. Unknown. 2. Final Declaration of Grand Mage Balzark. Minus 10 intuition. 3. Blessing of Blade Master Karakardra. Plus 1 dexterity. Minus 1 strength. 4. Ancient God's Champion. Arak. Gar's Criticism. Minus 3 strength. 5. Dark Dragon Grotius's Karmic Curse. Minus 20 strength. Minus 20 vitality. 6. Edelweit of the Haunted Forest's Common Curse. Minus 5 strength. Erectile dysfunction. 7. Enemy of the Kingdom. Faction. Nemesis of Human Kingdom. Blank check reward. 8. Destroyer of Hora Mountain Sect. Faction. Nemesis of Hora Mountain Sect. Destroyed. 9. Destroyer of Mura Sect. Faction. Nemesis of Mura Sect. Destroyed. 10. Enemy of the Allied Mages Guild. Faction. Nemesis of Allied Mages Guild and Subguilds. 11. Steel Fist Curse of Crimson Orc Chief. Dracul. Race. Minus 30 Orc Favor. 12. Recorded on Dwarven Book of Grudges. Race. Minus 200 Dwarf Favor. 13. Recorded on Allied Merchants Guild's Blacklist. Faction. Trade impossible with Allied Merchants Guild and their affiliated factions. Too long. It would take ages to read completely down to the class screen. This was why he had avoided opening his status screen before. There also hadn't been any need to. Sungchul sifted through the tightly packed lines of words to find what he was really looking for. Ability, power, class, and soul contracts. Class. Main class. Primordial Warrior, Mythic. Subclass. High Class Chef, Rare. Stats. Strength, 999 plus. Dexterity, 853. Vitality, 801. Magic Power, 3. Intuition, minus 9. Magic Resist, 611. Resilience, 501. Charisma, 18. Luck, 18. Soul Contract. 6 slots. 1. Soul Harvester. Legend. Vitality Leech, 15%. Vitality restored from fallen enemies. 2. Thunder Shield. Legend. All magic damage reduced by 50%. Negate all mental attacks below legend rank. 3. Eye of Truth. Legend. Negate all blessings below epic rank. Identify all items, consumables, and skill details. 4. Soul Storage. Epic. Can store 1,500 different items. 5. Deceiver's Veil. Rare. High tier. Conceals status window. Blank. With the comparably lighter data, Sungchul first looked over the classes. I suppose Mage should be slotted to the subclass. I haven't really messed around with it like some other people have. Sungchul then looked over his fifth soul contract, Deceiver's Veil. Soul contracts were, as the name suggested, an agreement where a deity or a similar being inscribes some of their power into the user's soul. Each of these contracts were exceedingly difficult to obtain, but they also granted significant power. Deceiver's Veil effectively deceived other users. It not only hid the user's stats, but also their name.
It was something essential for an unreasonably powerful loner with more enemies than friends like Sungchul. I should play around a bit when I get the chance. He finally looked over his stats, or more importantly, his intuition. Intuition is -9. That curse from the geezer, Balzark, is holding me back now. The image of an old man covered in countless inscriptions, spouting curses while being turned into tenderized meat, flashed through his mind. Intuition was a core stat for a mage, going along with their magic power. Higher magic power represented the mage's destructive power and the size of his or her mana reserve, while higher intuition unlocked higher tiers of magic spells. But no matter how large your magic power was, spells simply could not be learned without their required intuition. As far as he could recall, the mage class required minimum of 10 intuition. It is critical that I raise my intuition, but upper limit for increase in intuition through common quests is set to 10. Limit for strength gain is 23, so why is the limit for raising intuition set so low? He did not plan for it, but a need for hidden quests arose. However, Sungchul didn't know the requirements for triggering any of the hidden quests within the summoning palace, and he had only managed to get his hands on the common quest log. It wasn't like there weren't any other ways. Sungchul searched for the most unnaturally calm individuals among the survivors. He found one with the observer's eye floating above. In other words, a pre-selected. A way would appear if he trailed him. A way to uncover a hidden quest. Chapter 2. Forsaken Cathedral. The homunculi gathered around the survivors and began counting their numbers.
How many of the trash survived, Yeo? At a quick glance, around 1,500?
Among the homunculi, there was one that was abnormally large. It wore a white hat, and as the leader of the homunculi, it called itself the drill sergeant. All of the homunculi gathered around it.
There are exactly 1,534 heads, Yeo! Oh my! Not even reduced by half, Yeo! Such a disappointment. However, I am a benevolent homunculus, Yeo!
The drill sergeant's tone was not only shrill and cracked, but also loud, so it had no problem reaching its audience. The voice sounded unpleasant, but it still bored through into their ears. Sungchul also had to listen to its voice.
Is it the same one from 25 years ago? It's still alive.
The homunculi usually lived short lives. Not only were they treated harshly by their masters, but they were also often cannibalized by their fellows. It seemed that this homunculus managed to survive so long by increasing its size to gain power, and by taking in followers after helping them grow stronger.
Now, trashy humans. This gracious drill sergeant shall show mercy upon you all, Yeo. I declare a week of rest. Please use this week well to adjust to this new world, Yeo.
The homunculi followed the drill sergeant out. This announcement snapped the people into conversation.
Where is this? Just where is this?
My phone. There's no signal, not even Wi-Fi.
This is a dream. It has to be a dream.
Most of the summoned were unable to accept the reality they were facing and were still in denial. But being in denial was counterproductive. The smart thing to do was to accept their circumstances and act quickly to tackle the problems they were facing one at a time.
This week isn't a gift, but a death sentence.
There were no rations or water in this place, only people. Other than the wall protecting them from the demonic creatures, there were no merits to staying in this place. People would have to venture beyond the walls to survive, or they would have to eat other people. Sungchul stayed with the crowd and observed the situation. A short while later, a few people started to move. They walked in a way that could be considered erratic in the eyes of a normal person. Some circled the plaza, and others pretended to swing a sword in the air. Normally, people would assume that they had lost it, but Sungchul saw things differently. There was an observer's eye on top of each of these lunatics, without exception.
They were getting their instructions through a summoner who was teaching them how to survive in this place. Completing small quests while others remained idle out of indecision and ignorance would quickly add up and make a critical difference in the end. Among the normal people, some were showing a bit of initiative.
"Excuse me, are you by yourself?"
A middle-aged man in a ragged suit made his way through the crowd to form a group. Although some ignored him, insulted him, or outright refused to join him, he still managed to form a small group of 10 people. As he watched that man, Sung Trill began recalling an old memory.
"Thinking back, there are those kinds too. Spouting annoying nonsense like, a bundle of sticks is harder to break to gather people."
He was then reminded of someone, a memory which darkened his expression rapidly. But there was no more time for him to soak in the past. Sung Tro quickly tailed a group of 20 people exiting the plaza. However, someone in the background thoughtlessly called out to him.
"Hey!"
Sung Tro turned his cold, emotionless gaze over to the speaker.
"Got any cigs?"
Sung Tro didn't even bother acknowledging him any further. Past the walls, a forest overflowing with demonic energy awaited them. It was home to demonic creatures. Those marked by the observer's eye were the first who dared to cross the barrier and step into the forest. Sung Trill noticed that even among the pre-selected, their large number indicated that these people were not ordinary.
They must have the backing of a big organization.
The summoning palace was a neutral zone under the protection of the God of Order. No powers were allowed to freely abuse their authority here. It required great sums of money to bribe enough people to influence things in the summoning palace. Only major factions had enough wealth to bring several dozen officials under their sway. This meant that these people were most likely the ones who Sung Churl had been searching for. He nonchalantly slipped into their group. The younger men and women gave him a glance before turning their attention away. In this awkward silence, two more joined the group.
25 people? I think that's everyone.
A stylish man in a suit was the first to speak out. Everyone focused their attention on him. It must have been nerve-wracking, but he still continued calmly.
I apologize if I seem forward, but that's just how it is. My name is Yohun Lee.
He received a reasonable response from the group. Everyone other than a squinty-eyed man with bleached hair seemed to welcome his attempt at breaking the ice. Yohun continued to address the crowd after gaining their approval.
Can everyone hear their guide's voice?
Everyone's head nodded in response. Sung Churl also calmly nodded his head and turned his attention to their observer's eyes. There were slight differences in their shapes. Each was summoned by a different summoner. At this moment, Sung Churl noticed something.
The quality of the assigned mages is low. Their vision and telepathy must be spotty at best.
The mages that Sung Churl usually dealt with were of high rank. Even the necromancers that Sung Churl had frequently and casually beaten to death were capable of raising an army of undead numbering in the thousands. Compared to the mages of the caliber Sung Churl was used to, these summoners were apprentices at best.
Not bad. I should stick with this group.
By Sung Churl's expectation, there would be hidden quests attached to the training course prepared for these 24 people.
First off, my guide has notified me that time is very precious. There is no time for us to dawdle. After a brief introduction, I believe we should quickly move on with whatever our guides have directed us to do.
Yohun approached the people around him first, casually introducing himself, and enticed a friendly atmosphere. No one approached Sung Churl, and that was because of his messy appearance. It was extremely difficult to obtain decent clothes in Otherworld, much less stylish ones. Sung Churl did make some effort to try and look presentable, but he could only manage to get his hands on some worn-out military fatigues. He looked like some sort of homeless veteran. He also hadn't had any hygiene products with which to wash for a while now, so he didn't smell too great either. Next to Sung Churl, there was a teenager in hip-hop clothing and a woman in her 20s wearing only branded products, but they spoke to each other with their backs toward him. It was a clear sign of rejection. Sung Churl didn't particularly mind. There were no benefits in him caring what they thought of him. All he wanted were the hidden quests. However, someone noticed him from afar and approached him.
"Hey, mister, why are you standing here alone?"
Sung Chul looked up, wondering who it might have been. It was Yuhun Lee. The man spoke with a wide smile, maintaining eye contact, and a hand outreached for a shake. What a well-trained etiquette. Song Chul had dealt with a lot of people before. His instincts told him that Yuhun might not be as friendly as he appeared, but he accepted the handshake anyways. Just Kim. Please call me Kim. Then we'll have to compromise with calling you Mr. Kim. About the time when introductions finished, an eerie glow emanated from deep within the forest. The group slowly gathered together and turned toward the light. It was a familiar laugh. As expected, a homunculus revealed itself from the darkness. The glow was coming from the lantern it held in its hand.
You have already gathered here, humans!
Sung Chul recognized this homunculus by its voice. Drill Sergeant. The drill sergeant was significantly larger than the average homunculus, and also revealed a significantly more sinister set of razor-like teeth as it greeted the group. It stood at the height of everyone's stomachs, but they all understood just how savage and powerful these midget creatures were. How could they dare look down on the much larger drill sergeant? The drill sergeant reveled in the humans' fears and smiled gleefully as it looked over them.
Please do not fear, humans. This drill sergeant is but a smart homunculus, yayo. I senselessly kill trashy humans, but to the selected few, I provide assistance, yayo.
The drill sergeant tottered back through the forest with a lantern in hand.
Follow closely, pre-selected humans. You might just die to some monsters if you fall behind.
Everyone became flabbergasted at this situation.
I think we can follow him. That's what the voice is telling me.
Yuhun led the way in, following after the homunculus. The others also followed after their impromptu leader helplessly. Only two people stayed in their place.
Oh, shit. I really don't like that bitch.
A man resembling a catfish spat out a quick bit of profanity before following. Sung Chul quietly moved after him. The homunculus led the group to an abandoned cathedral. On top of the cathedral's steeple, there stood a rectangular ornament. This was the symbol for the God of Order. The God of Order was one of the five gods that ruled over the pantheon.
You are to go in, humans!
The drill sergeant stepped in first. The rectangular ornament filled with a strange light as it stepped into the cathedral.
Whoa! What? This...
Disparate words of admiration spilled out from the group. There were sarcophagi with open lids within the cathedral. There were 25 in total.
Now, now, humans, don't dawdle. Step into whichever one suits your fancy, yo.
The homunculus spoke with a smirk. One by one, everyone eventually began lying within the sarcophagi. Sung Chul Kim also found one somewhere in the middle and lay down. The sarcophagi began levitating with power, and the lids closed shut on their own. Bright letters began to appear within the suffocating darkness that surrounded them. You have found the martyr's sarcophagi and lay down with resolute hearts. Determination of the martyr uplifts your body. Effect, +10 strength, dexterity, vitality, region restriction, summoning palace. In essence, this was a buff for beginners. But the amount granted was outrageous. An average healthy adult male would have a strength stat of 6. What would happen if you added 10 to this number? Even the feeblest of women would suddenly exceed the normal physical limit of human anatomy. Sung Chul's eyes revealed his surprise. I've heard stories, but I never imagined that the pre-selected would get this significant of an advantage. He was one of the originals summoned. Delicate dandies like the pre-selected hadn't existed back then. Everyone had to claw their way through depths of hell each day. He knew that everyone who made it out alive had done so by the merit of their own strength and their luck. In that way, it had been truly equal. Those who lacked ability died. What Sung Chul had witnessed just now in this cathedral threw the concept of a fair game out the window.
Now, now, wake up, great humans.
They saw a pile of weapons and rations that had been prepared in front of the sarcophagi. There was a week's worth of food and weapons that were visually similar to the basic ones. Everyone looked confused, but Sungchul had already spotted the difference.
These are enchanted weapons.
Physically identical weapons could have a drastically different performance with enchants. The impact of enchants was more drastic for lower-grade weapons like the ones they had been provided with at the start. These weapons were worlds apart from the ones the group was currently equipped with.
Now, humans, throw away those trash weapons you are carrying and take hold of these new weapons, please. These are 10 times better, Yeo.
They hesitantly exchanged their old weapons for the new ones.
Whoa, they look the same, but I think the new ones seem better somehow.
Yeah, don't they feel lighter and stronger?
The drill sergeant saw the delighted eyes of the group and spoke even louder with its usual grating voice.
You selected few! You are protected, Yeo! I, drill sergeant, shall dedicate myself to guiding every one of you in safely passing through the tribulations of this summoning palace, Yeo!
The members began relaxing and smiling after hearing these words. They had completely accepted the homunculus's words that they were the chosen ones.
Everyone, we will soon return to the plaza, Yeo! There is no need to fear, Yeo. You have obtained a few powers beyond those of the trashy humans.
The drill sergeant's words bolstered the group's pride. Laughter could be heard from the people, but Sungchul saw a faint light approaching the group. It was another lantern. This lantern was held by a single homunculus who was leading a single person in this direction.
Huh? What's that?
The drill sergeant revealed its razor-like teeth as it questioned the other homunculus.
Manager, there is another chosen human. What? Chosen human?
The drill sergeant's eyes lit up with a crimson light.
There are already 25 people here. What's going on here, assistant?
The drill sergeant began huffing and threateningly approaching the smaller homunculus before it replied fearfully.
The human said he needed to take a shit first, so he was late.
Shit? Does that even make sense?
The drill sergeant drew close to the newly arrived human and glared at him. He was a 20-year-old male with a decent appearance and a balanced physique. He seemed to have an extremely friendly personality because he continued to smile despite the drill sergeant fuming before him. A few of the women took note of him.
Anyways, it's impossible. All the buffs of the martyrs and the overpowered weapons have already been distributed to the 25 people gathered here. Those who are tardy have no right to get anything, Yeo.
The drill sergeant crushed a candy while shaking its head in anger. However, the small homunculus's face now started to pale.
But manager, this human is not ordinary, Yeo.
What do you mean, assistant?
This human is someone directly chosen by the Order of the Iron Blood Knights, head captain, Yeo.
Order of the Iron Blood Knights?
The drill sergeant jumped up in surprise. It was so surprised that even the candy flew out of its mouth.
Order of the Iron Blood Knights, huh?
Sungchul recognized the name. They were once the preeminent steward defenders of humanity against the demonic forces, but they fell to corruption and instead became the shield of the elites. An image of the knight captain's stubborn face with graying beard flashed across Sungchul's mind.
Hey, you call yourself the drill sergeant, right? Don't be so stiff. I haven't really adjusted to this world yet.
The tardy guy finally opened his mouth. There wasn't a speck of him trying to confront the drill sergeant. He passed by the flabbergasted drill sergeant and began smiling while warmly shaking hands with the rest of the group.
Hello, everyone. Sorry I'm late. My name is Aaron Park. As you can see, I'm a pre-selected, just like you all.
It was an astounding display of self-confidence and adaptability. He had already understood his status within this new society and was now making full use of it. The man clearly knew that no matter what he said, the drill sergeant could not harm him. The drill sergeant was shaking in rage, but it could only savagely chew an ever-increasing number of hard candies. The drill sergeant eventually addressed everyone other than Aram.
Among you, there is a bad boy that has deceived this drill sergeant. Please come forward now. before this drill sergeant becomes very angry.
The people in the group continued looking at each other and exchanged gazes filled with suspicion. Sung Cho met two distinct gazes himself. They were the hip-hop boy and the brand name girl he noticed from earlier.
Isn't it that person?
I think so too.
The two eventually stood before Sung Cho.
Hey, hobo!
The hip-hop boy took on an aggressive tone with Sung Cho.
It's you, isn't it? Everyone can see that.
Sung Cho laughed to himself as the kid glared at him with arrogant eyes.
I guess I must look like I'm a pushover.
The drill sergeant's grating voice once again punched at their ears.
Hey, you! Why did you raise your hand?
Drill sergeant was looking at Yohun Lee.
Are you confessing that you're the rat?
Yohun's shoulders fell away at the drill sergeant's murderous tone.
No!
Then why did you raise your hand?
I'm not sure of the exact circumstance, but if I understand correctly, someone among us isn't a pre-selected. Is that right?
The drill sergeant nodded. Yohun, with a voice markedly more pleasant than the drill sergeant's, continued speaking softly towards the crowd.
The one guiding me has provided a wonderful suggestion. We could reveal the name of our guides.
A very simple but effective method. There was an observer's eye above all of the pre-selected. The observer's eyes were limited to transmitting the mage's telepathy to only their assigned candidates and were invisible to one another. But this wouldn't matter if their candidate were to verbally relay the information. Only the pre-selected would be able to answer this question. There was no possibility that someone could reason themselves out of this.
For reference, the name of the person guiding me is Leonis.
Yohun was the first to announce his guide, which was the conservative and smart choice. The drill sergeant, who had been shaking in rage, quickly started smiling grotesquely.
There, human. Truly brilliant. You have earned points in this drill sergeant's book, Yayo. This is a great honor, Yayo.
Yohun simply scratched his head and smiled sheepishly.
That guy.
Sung Chul questioned the claim that the idea Yohun proposed came from the guide. Thick-headed interns wouldn't be able to think up such an idea on the fly like that.
My guide's name is Dolores Winterer. She says she's on a different level than average mages.
Aram followed up with a raucous laughter. The drill sergeant ignored him and continued asking down the line.
Human, your guide's name?
Choi Huyung.
One by one, the group revealed their guides' names, and the smaller homunculus followed behind the drill sergeant and recorded them on a sheepskin. When half of the group was done, the young pair standing beside Sung Churl started glaring at him once more.
Hey, hobo, trying to bounce now? That monster is gonna split you in half when it finds out you clowned him, you know?
Is that right?
Sung Churl replied calmly. However, he wasn't looking at the kid. He was actually focusing on the observer's eye above him.
Should I try taking that?
It was just a simple construct. Its telepathy was probably automatically directed to the closest individual.
Then I'll go before you,
said Sung Chul, and as he spoke, his right hand moved. It moved at a speed faster than anyone could see and grabbed the observer's eye above the man's head.
Don't fight with other pre-selected. Don't fight.
Telepathy flowed in. It was a pathetic quality of telepathy that sounded weak and distant.
Why are you standing in front of me?
The man, who hadn't even realized that his observer's eye had been stolen, continued to glare at Sung Cho. Sung Cho feigned weakness and lowered his gaze, to which the man smirked victoriously.
Can't wait to die, can you? I won't stop you.
The brand name girl and the kid continued chattering behind him. It was as though they were celebrating Sung Cho's imminent death. However, they could never imagine that his hand was currently wrapped around something.
Why does everything look so strange? What, is there a problem?
Primitive telepathy from the observer's eye continued buzzing in. Sung Cho quietly reflected on this new revelation about the pre-selected.
Now that I think about it, none of these people actually ever talked to the observer's eye.
His gaze fell on the distant drill sergeant and the woman in front of it.
Elippus is the name.
The woman and even Yohun never muttered to themselves, but were still able to respond quickly to the question. That could only mean there was another method of communicating to the mage, a very strong mental thought.
What is your name?
Sungchul leaked a concise and strong thought through the observer's eye. A reply soon followed.
Didn't I tell you before? My name is Krill. Krill Regal.
Krill Regal. As soon as he heard the name, Sungchul threw the observer's eye into the air. It didn't go far before a small explosion happened, followed by a splattering of blood, but no one was able to see this. Now it was Sungchul's turn.
The human with colorful clothing. State the name of your guiding mage, yo?
The drill sergeant revealed its razor teeth and demanded an answer.
Krill. Krill Regal.
The hip-hop man's face crumbled at the mention of that name.
What? What did you say?
It was only natural to be surprised. It was the name he was going to give. However, the drill sergeant wasn't interested in fair trials or figuring out who was truly guilty. It stood indifferently before the man whose guide's name was stolen and demanded an answer.
Hey, you, human with earrings, state your guiding mage's name, yo.
The hip-hop boy was soaked in cold sweat. He finally pointed at Sungchul and began shouting.
That fucker! He said my mage's name!
What? Human?
The drill sergeant and the small homunculus with the paper and pen both tilted their heads.
No! Shit! That fucker! He said my mage's name before I could. Krill Regal was mine!
There was no one here, no homunculi who was willing to listen to him. The drill sergeant lifted the hip-hop boy by the collar with its pudgy hands.
Got him! The rat! I finally found a criminal, yayo!
No! It's not me!
Sungchul looked indifferently at the boy being dragged off and quietly raised his middle finger. Finally, the boy understood what had just transpired, but by now it was much too late.
Hey!
The boy was soon torn apart by the hands of two homunculi. His pitiful screaming rang eerily throughout the forsaken cathedral. Chapter 3. Nightmare of Vestiare. It had been 4 days since the mass summoning, and an unpleasant energy was circling the Blanche Plaza. 1,500 people were busy stewing in the stench of rotting flesh without any food or water. There were no conversations, just constant glares from across the plaza.
Rip!
The sound of plastic rustled from one corner of the plaza. Several hundred pairs of eyes shot towards the man that was pulling something from his clothes. It was just an empty cigarette carton.
Anyone? Anyone have some cigs?
The man kept asking with hollow eyes, even as his voice grew taut. A few of the men standing nearby spat out profanities as they started beating him up. Nobody tried to stop them, and not even his pitiful screams could stir up any sort of reaction. After the beating was finished, the man kept on muttering as he lay on the ground.
Cigarettes, please.
Sungchul unconsciously recognized the face. It was the face of the idiotic guy who had asked for some cigs on the first day. Looking at the man's crooked nose and his bruised eyes, he estimated that the man had 2 more days left at most, or perhaps he wouldn't even last the night. His spirit looked to be even more dead than his body was. Sungchul only cared about how to best spend his time here. He refocused his mind on his objectives. In the end, I didn't manage to find any hidden quests. There weren't any more gatherings of the pre-selected after they left the Forsaken Cathedral. It was completely against his expectations. He had hoped that some of the pre-selected would be called away one at a time, but none of them had moved discreetly. The most he could do was keep track of what they did throughout the day. They had taken over the northern corner of the plaza and the training center located there. The pre-selected were inside, training with the practice and spinning dummies. There were also ordinary people who were pointing at and mocking them as if they were lunatics.
Tisk, tisk. There's nothing to eat, and they're just wasting their energy. They're just asking to die faster. They gone crazy is all. Those idiots.
These people were just ignorant. The pre-selected would quickly grow strong inside the training center.
Ha ha! The sound of your punch on the dummy is becoming crisp. How much strength do you have now?
22.
The sound changed after I hit 20.
I haven't hit 20 yet. I gotta try harder myself.
A small yet distinct disparity was beginning to grow. This would become a critical factor to them during the future crisis. Punch! Punch! Song Churl thoughtlessly punched a dummy in the corner of the training center and continued with his eavesdropping. There were two people worth taking notice of in this group. Yuhun Li, a natural-born leader whose wit could charm any person coupled with a calm voice that even an announcer would envy. And then, Autumn Park. He had arrived conspicuously even on the first day and revealed himself to be backed by one of the most powerful factions. He had already proven his authority over the drill sergeant and was more noteworthy than the former due to his powerful background. The chances of him being granted a hidden quest were quite large. The problem was, Autumn seemed to be more interested in his sexual conquests than any training.
You have a boyfriend? It looks like you might have one, but maybe not anymore.
He didn't even pretend to be training. He avoided any form of labor, including hitting the dummies, and had become even more of a bother with his endless supply of pickup lines. The women who were interested at first, due to his powerful supporter and fashionably late entrance, quickly lost interest due to his lecherous and flighty attitude.
Ah, why does everyone hate me? It's a short life anyway. I might as well enjoy it while I can.
He was eventually turned away by all of the pre-selected women and now turned to women outside of the group. Their faces all looked tired and despondent, but some still retained some of their former beauty. He drooled lecherously as he held his rations under his arms.
Ah, what should I do? What am I to do?
Song Churl thought that Autumn looked like an animal in heat locked in a cage. He predicted that Autumn would cause a major incident in the not-too-distant future. Song Churl didn't have to wait for long. Autumn left with a pretty young thing beyond the wall, but he returned alone. Only Song Churl knew what had really transpired. Within an isolated area covered in foliage, there was the corpse of a naked woman. Song Churl acknowledged it without showing emotion. There was a distinct handprint around her neck. She had died from asphyxiation. The most incriminating piece of evidence was the slight bit of blood and skin embedded underneath her nails. Few rations were left next to the body, as if to mock the victim. What a broken person. He had felt that Autumn was twisted from the start, but being granted so much authority so quickly could only make things worse. Who knew how many more would be sacrificed? It was up to Song Churl to find an opportunity to put an end to this. I need to set up some sort of special experience for him and his guide. Song Churl closed the woman's eyes that were left open, frozen in fear, and quietly whispered under his breath, "May you find happiness in the afterlife." He turned away from the woman and put the dangers of the dark forest behind him. After sundown, the pre-selected would gather beyond the walls to eat their food while sitting on the forest floor. The rations they'd been provided by the drill sergeant only contained stale bread and small beads that would turn into a mouthful of water when placed into their mouth. It wasn't tasty, but it was still something precious. They were the only ones among the 1,500 that would be able to eat something in this week. Song Churl sat at a distance away from the group, but he was still listening to their conversations.
What did you do before?
College. I was attending when I was suddenly dragged here.
Same here. I'm a college student as well.
Oh, is that right? What major?
I was a music major.
That was the brand name, girl. People tended to talk more during their meals. Conversation acted to close the gaps in people's hearts and could bolster a person's spirits, even in situations like these. However, all conversations stopped when a group of three drew near. The pre-selected exchanged glances with each other. The cold, calculating glances gave proof of an unspoken consensus that they would commit murder together.
Wow! There really is food here,
the man briefly exclaimed before he suddenly fell silent as if his mouth was sealed. Obnoxious chewing sounds could be heard. Crunch, smack, chew. The sound dissipated and the uninvited guests licked their lips longingly before leaving.
What was that?
I don't know.
The pre-selected, who were riled up, then dropped their murderous intent and resumed their meal, continuing with their conversations. No one had noticed Song Churl's disappearance. Sungtrill stared down at the crimson slime wedged under a heavy rock. Its name was Blood Pudding. It was actually a green herbivore that was about the size of an adult woman. But during its mating season, it would turn red and become extremely aggressive and start devouring everything in sight. The problem, though, was that this species' mating ritual was very unusual. Sungtrill lightly pushed away the rock holding the slime in place. Freed from its binding, the slime leaped aggressively towards Sungtrill. Wham! The Blood Pudding exploded with a single punch. Any other fuckers want to try? Sungtrill spoke coldly towards the slimy crimson silhouettes deeper in the forest. Several hundred Blood Puddings resided within the forest, and the naked woman's carcass had lured some of them into this pit. Sungtrill was keeping them away from the pit. Two more tried jumping out at him. Wham! Wham! The results were no different. Next, dozens of slimes attacked simultaneously, but their crimson ooze splattered everywhere following sounds of heavy impact. This was a genocide. The Blood Puddings of the forest were at risk of extinction. The Blood Puddings which surrounded him broke the encirclement and ran away from Sungtrill. It was for a simple reason. Sungtrill had managed to teach a creature lacking sentience to fear him, that he was the bane of their existence. He covered the corpse in the pit with dirt by using his feet and noted the direction the Blood Puddings were heading in. What is this? The pre-selected only discovered the Blood Puddings after the unwelcome guests had left. A few men who had grown bored after having their meals began approaching the Blood Puddings.
Danger! Run!
As they approached the Blood Pudding, the observer's eye began transmitting the mage's warnings. However, it was too late. The stationary Blood Puddings suddenly jumped into the air and swallowed one of the men.
Help!
The man's clothing slowly started being digested by the Blood Pudding's digestive fluid.
Hey, let me go!
The man next to him tried attacking the Blood Pudding with his blade, but it was to no avail. The slime's constitution made them impervious to physical attacks, which made them very difficult for newcomers to handle. While the men continued to make their futile resistance with the swords, the slime finally enveloped the victim's face. The man's face being dissolved as he drowned in the digestive fluid was clearly visible from outside the slime's transparent body. The other one abandoned his sword and fled the scene.
What happened?
The rest of the group finally realized that something had occurred and quickly rose from their meal. However, by now, the forest was crawling with crimson slimes. The pre-selected finally experienced fear in their hearts. Only Aram still didn't fully understand the situation.
What? What happened?
They abandoned Aram with his ignorant question and scattered into the forest exit. Aram figured something was up and started to stand up. His eyes caught sight of a man sitting with his back turned towards him. The man was wearing ragged jeans with military fatigues.
Ha ha, that smelly loner bitch. Hey, mister, what happened?
His vision suddenly turned yellow. When he awoke, he was surrounded by overgrown grass and could feel the dirt on the ground.
Whoa, what?
He couldn't remember what had happened. However, he did feel a sharp pain coming from his ankles.
Ah, shit! What the fuck?
Something had broken his ankle. He had barely managed to lift himself when countless Blood Puddings came rushing in his direction. The Blood Pudding's slick body crawled up on Aram's sneakers.
Psh!
Aram began foaming at the mouth and lost his consciousness at the sight of his sneakers being dissolved from the acid. At that moment, a magic formation appeared.
Ice bolt!
From the seal, a lightly dressed woman appeared and swung her staff. Her hair was red, but her eyes were dead cold.
Damn it! Stuck with such an annoying bastard!
The young woman spat onto Aram's face and continued swinging her staff. The destructive blizzard of frost annihilated the nearby Blood Puddings.
Ah, what do I do with this son of a bitch? It's not like I can kill him.
The woman in question looked at Aram with an annoyed expression and disappeared after shoving a healing potion down his throat. It was the epitome of a hit and run. But despite her best efforts, there was one person who had still witnessed everything from start to finish. His name was none other than Sungchul Kim.
Dolores Winterer. She must be at least a mid-grade mage.
The number of well-dressed mages was low. In turn, they also received better treatment. Mid-grade mages would even be able to manage a whole division of a small guild. For this type of person to be stuck with this man meant Autumn must be of utmost importance to the backers. Sungchul digested the information and then nonchalantly picked up Autumn before heading back to the group. 2 days later, Autumn disappeared into the forest without anyone's knowledge. The drill sergeant was there waiting for him.
I have been waiting, great human.
The drill sergeant led Autumn through the forest to a cliff using its usual tottering sort of steps. Below the cliff, there was a cave entrance. Autumn silently entered the forest, then popped out after an hour.
Shit. It's still too hard.
Great human, there is no need to rush. There will definitely be progress if you challenge it again tomorrow, Yeo.
Sungchul carefully stepped out towards the cave after the parrot left. He stepped in without a second thought, a series of brightly lit letters appearing before him. Vestiare of the Seven Heroes Memorial. You have entered Vestiare's dream world. Which dream of the seven heroes do you wish to view? The difficulty varies with each dream. There were six different dreams listed ascending in difficulty. A summer day's dream. False dream of spring. Dream of troubled sleep. Lucid dreams. Memories of the divine war. Eternal nightmare.
One of the seven heroes, Vestiare.
Seven heroes. They were the legendary figures once known for having saved the other world. However, their names had been listed second among the five calamities. Sungchul's lips curled into a frosty smile. He chose one of the six dreams. You have dared to select Vestiare of the Seven Heroes' Eternal Nightmare. Be prepared to face death within the eternal darkness. In an unfathomably distant past, there was a time when an unbelievable number of humans were summoned en masse into Otherworld. The irresponsible gods left the fate of Otherworld in the hands of the insignificant humans. The humans were unaccustomed to the world and were quite primitive, but they had been able to overcome Otherworld's tribulations after many sacrifices. The seven heroes were at the center of this. The seven heroes, as they had been called by the people, suddenly disappeared one day, leaving behind a legend stating that they would return when they were once again needed. This legend was fulfilled in the most ironic form possible. The seven forgotten beings who disappeared after trampling over the devil's demonic forces will one day return to fulfill their promise, and with them, blood, death, war, and pestilence will come. The forgotten saviors of the past were now rewritten as a calamity, becoming one of the symbols of extinction within the minds of the people. However, no one could answer as to what kind of individuals these seven heroes actually were. It was one of the most heavily guarded secrets in this world, known only by the highest levels of authority. Sungchul was also counted amongst them.
Vestiare. She was definitely one of the mage heroes, a high elf. She created a class of magic called Echo.
His blood had started boiling as soon as he heard the name Vestiare. Vestiare had reached the peak of all mages. She must have created this cave in order to pass on her techniques and skills to a worthy student.
It must have been from before they fell, back when they still cared about humanity.
Faith in humanity. The thought brought a bitter taste to his mouth, but it was almost over. He had already witnessed so much betrayal, change of heart, and corruption. He had seen enough evil to fill even the devils with disgust. If it hadn't been for his promise, he would have given up a long time ago. It was the first and only promise he had made, back when he had still been an ordinary person. He might have even decided to give up all his strength and return to his world otherwise.
Phew!
A sigh welling up from deep inside his chest spilled out.
Sung Cho's eyes sharpened like the stars of the clear midnight sky, and he shook off the foggy memories of the past. Another set of bright letters appeared before him.
Be ready. The eternal nightmare is about to begin.
His surroundings turned a bloody crimson, and the metallic stench of blood tickled his nose. Sung Cho slowly moved forward. Within the blood mist, creatures that looked like a compressed brain came into view. They were cloaked in invisibility magic, but couldn't trick Sung Cho's eyes. They were dream demons, commonly known